Okay, so back to Bava Metzia. Okay, Hamotzi min Chavero and Shnayim Ochsin. Okay, so we talked about Hamotzi min Chavero al-Paraya, and then we want to apply that to Shnayim Ochsin and see what, you know, what meaning it has for us. So, what does it mean to be in possession of the object, right? So, time of Tachlifa Bar Marava, Kamei Derbi Ava, Shnayim Adukim Itam. Two people are fighting over it. And guy A is like holding onto the talus up to here. And guy B is holding up to the talus over here, right? They're fighting like this. Talus is sticking out over here. I really should have brought something. Okay. Right? So he says that each one gets up until the point that he's holding on to. Right? And the rest, the area in between, they are cholek b'shvua. They split with the shvua. Right? Machu le'er bavau u'b'shvua. Okay, fine. El masnisin diktani depalgi bahadadi. So why are we splitting it in half in our Mishnah? V'lo k'tani zeneu taladim makom sh'yadu magad. V'z'haychi mishkachat. What's the case? So Amar Papa, d'tfisi b'karkashna. Okay, they're holding on to the fringes at the end. They're holding on to basically the tzitzis. So if you're holding on to an object, right, two of them are holding on to the talus, whatever each one has inside of his hand and beyond is his, right? And then we split the rest. Okay? If they're holding on to the fringes at the end, so then we split the whole thing. Emer of Misharashia, Shvamina, Hai Sudra, Kivan the toughest bay shalosh shal shalosh, karinan bay vinasan lareyahu, to command the toughest dami vikan. Okay, a sudar, an Akinian sudar, once the guy has the sudar in his hand, right, it's as if he actually has the whole thing, or has the whole thing, sorry, that's in his hand, as if you, like, took scissors and cut it off. And the Akinian sudar works. Umayishna medar b'chizda, damar b'chizda, get b'yado, m'shich b'yado, m'yachol l'natko l'avio atzlo, in imigrashas, right? This is good shmack, because it's connecting Bava Metzia, Kiddushin, and Gittin all in one go. So Rav Chisda says that by a get, if there's a string attached to the get, right, literally strings attached, and he could yank the get back, so she's in a migrashas, in la migrashas, but if he yanked on the string would just snap, and she would still have the get in her hand, then she's migrashas. Hatam kritut ba'inan v'leika. Right, we need the get to be korek beno levana, to be a final severance of the relationship. And since there are strings attached, right, it's not good. It's not a real netek, or not a real end to the relationship. Haha, nitina ba'inan v'haika. Here we need him to give it, right? We need nitina, and there's nitina over here, right? It's about giving over the object. It's not about, right, splitting up their some sort of relationship. Amarava, im haita talit muzhevet, chokin. If it was, it had gold on it, we would divide the value of the gold, right? Pshita, da. Lo tzricha dikai bahava be mitzvah. Okay? It's somewhere in the middle. Nami pshita. Still da. Lo tzricha dimikarib legabi dechad. It's closer to one of them. Mahu ditema damale plo kacha. Okay, so the gold is closer to one of them. He says, okay, let's split it, literally smack in the middle. So when we say split, whatever in the middle, it means, right, the whole thing in the middle, not like down in the middle. Exactly equidistance between them. Okay, why is this all important? What it does is it tells us, right, that there are different types of possession. Right, there's possession and there's possession. And then there's possession. There's having something in your hand, right? In which case it's yours and you've got it and other people don't got it. And then it's as if you already cut it and you have it in your pocket. Then you have the bit that's two in between the two of them, right? They're both holding onto the tzitzis of the talus and like the whole talus in the middle is kind of flopping around. That they both have, right? But it's not the same as actually having it in their hand. Okay? And that's going to be relevant for our application of Hamotzi Mechaber al Farai and Chazaka Ma'adi Tachas Yado Shalom. Right? Because even if you accept that something that's actually in someone's possession is presumed to be theirs, what about if Tafis Bekarkashka? Right? Number one. Number two is, what really defines, why, right? What defines the difference between the Tafis Bekarkashka and the bit that they have in their hands? Right? It definitely seems clear that there's something about actually having it in your exclusive control by having it like in your hand mamish that leads us to say that like that's a more powerful, more significant tfisa than simply, you know, holding on to one end of the object. Okay, so back to Tosos and Daf Bet in our sugya, right, Tosos said, really, we love Kol Da'alim Kvar. We love just letting them fight it out, just beat each other up until it's done, right? Tema, Maishna Me'ahi De'arba, by the boat, the Amar Kol Da'alim Kvar, in Parakhez Kesabatim and Babasu. V'yesh Lomar, De'ochzen Shaini, De'chashiv Ki'ilu Kol Echad Yesh Loba B'vaday Ha'chetzi. Says, if we know that each one has half, why the anan sahadi demai the toughest high di day? Right? We're anan sahadi, right? We know that this guy, whatever he has in his toe face is his. Right? But about talis, the ikal meimar de travayu, yachloku, right? If we know that it can't possibly belong to both of them, then we can't say that, right? Because it just doesn't make sense. We're saying we know that it belongs to both of them, yet that's logically incomprehensible, right? So we can't know something impossible to be true, right? Just doesn't make sense. So if we know that it's impossible for them to both own it, we can't know that they both own it. But if it's possible for it to belong to both of them, then we know that it belongs to both of them, right? Because anan sadi might be toughest high today. So talis di good memor travayuhu yachloku, and therefore they split it. Okay? Aval ba'arba afal gav de efsha shehishal shnehem kiva de muchzakim ba hevi dina kol da'alim kvar. So Toso says, right, even though they're both holding on to the strings here, right, since they both have some sort of possession of it, we know that it belongs to them. Okay? Says the Rush, or something a little bit different, right, but similar. It's more that kivan d'shnei b'ayim lefaneinu muchzakim b'guf ha'talis anu tzrichim lefzak lam din chaluka t'chol davar shanu roim b'yad adam chashvinan le'eshehu shalau afo bisha ar ma'arar v'omer shalihu. Right? We assume that it's probably the person who, whoever's holding it, we have to treat it as if it's his. We assume that it's his. And therefore, hilkach yef shar lefzakan din kol da'alim gvar. Right? And by the boat, hatam shayni she'in echad mehem muchzak v'davar shema'arin alav ein bezin mechuyav and limchos. Right, bezin has an obligation to prevent A from grabbing it away from B. Okay, now here, right? So misha ba likach davar she'in anu yodin ashamihu v'hu omer shalav hilkach ein roi lifsok lehen din chaluka shema nafsid le'echad mehen shalav kedek. Right, so we don't want to right, we can't allow A to grab it away from B. Right, because we still can't let A grab it away from B. So what Tosos is saying, what Tosos and the Rush are saying is what? Right? The din of Hamotzi Mechaber Olav Haraya here is not about really Hamotzi Mechaber Olav Haraya, right? We don't really know. We don't say, oh, in order to be Motzi Miyado, you need a Raya. What we're really saying is Chazaka Ma'ad Tachas Yado Shala. Either in the strong sense of Tosavos that it's an ansadi that it's actually his, or in the much weaker sense of the Rush that since we see it in his hands, right, we have to kind of presume that it might be his. Right, our sort of default option is that it's his. It's a little different than Anan Sadi. Right? Anan Sadi sounds like it really, really is his. We know it. Here he's saying, well, we don't know it, but what? But chashvinan le'eshu shelo, we assume it. And therefore, we can't let another person grab it away from him. Right? For Tosos, we know that it's his. For the Rush, we can't. We assume that it's his enough for it to trigger the rule that we have to prevent other people from stealing it from him. Right? Police officer sees guy A grab something from guy B, he's obligated to intervene, even though he has no prior knowledge of who owns it. Right? That's different than saying that we know that the original guy owns it. Okay? So, Shtayim Ochsin, according to the Rush, and Tosos, creates knowledge that it belongs to the person who has it. Okay? The Ramban, right, says, Mishnah Seinu, Shishneim Adukimba, In Motsi Miyadam, Lomar Kolda Olam Gvar. Right? Why don't we see the Kivan de Tafsila, Lomafkina Minayim? Shekashem she'in motzi en miyadam lomar kol da'olam gvar, kach en motzi en miyadam lomar yehe munach. We just won't take it away from them. It's different. We have no delusions that this probably belongs to them. Right? It just, they have it. And therefore, en motzi en miyadam. We're not going to take it away from them in order to do X, Y, Z. Right, because we think, oh, maybe this is a good idea or a good option. But fundamentally, like, we have no delusions that it belongs to them. Right? Sounds much more like the idea of Hamotze Mechaver or Aleph Haraya. We don't take money away from people without proof, not because we know it's theirs, but because, right, we leave the status quo. Notice that the Ramban status quo is relatively flexible, right? It's not such a strong status quo. Okay. The Rajba quotes Rabbi Hananel, and he goes a little step further, which, right, with Ramban is saying over here, right, that's in Motzim Yadam Lomar Kal Dal Mvar, right? We're not going to take it away from them since they already have it. The Rajba quotes Rabbi Hananel saying, Tfisa mahanya ki ilu nechlika hilkach yachloku. Right, for the Rabban, it's sort of like because they both have it, so we're not going to take it away. For the Rabbi Hananel, quoting the Rajba, it's that the tfisa is so effective that it's as if they already split it. Right? The fidas Rabbi Hananel kol she tofsin v'omdim in hefresh bein ikavader amai lelekavader amai. Why? Because the chaluka already happened. Right? Now, why is this helpful? Why is it helpful that we brought in that Gemara a moment ago? Because the Gemara, right, said there are two types of ways of looking at tfisa. There's tfisa where you're holding on to like the fringes of the object, right, and it creates an association with the object. It creates an implication of ownership according to Tosos and the Rush, or it creates a status of possession to create hamotzi mechaver according to the Ramban, right? According to the Rajba, what really is happening is, according to Rabbi Hanan, I'll quote in the Rajba, what's happening here is that because they're both holding on to it, it's the same as Yado Magas, where since it's actually in his hand already, we view it as if it's already like been cleft in twain and he already has it in his pocket. You get that? It's not just that, oh, we assume that it's his or that he has possession and therefore he gets to maintain possession. It's that he actually has it, legamri, already in his pocket. And it's just like any other person who has something in their pocket that we don't take it away from them, even though we know he's a liar. Because I don't care. I don't care that he's a liar, right? He has it. It's in his pocket. And we have no idea who it belongs to. So we don't go around making people empty their pockets and prove that they own the things in it. Right? It's already here. It's already in his hands. And then when we say yachloku, yachloku isn't a result, right? Isn't something that we do. And it isn't even a result of some sort of legal principle. Right? Yachloku is just the reality that already exists, according to Rabbeinu Hanan. They already split it. They already both have half independently. Okay? Okay. So, Shnayim Ochlim, according to Rabbi Hananel, the Chaluka is Me'ikra Din, but because it's already split, each one already has half. According to the Ramban, Hamotz Mechvel of Haraya, and therefore we have to do Hamotcholkin, because otherwise, right, because we have no proof in order to be Motzi. But Bezdin is splitting it because Hamotz Mechvel of Haraya, right? But still Bezdin is splitting it. According to Mechano, there's no splitting. There's no Bezdin doing anything in Yachluk, right? That's just the Mitzias that already exists. Okay, according to the Tosfos and the Rosh, it's not at all right? It's totally a solution that's being imposed by Bezdin, but it's being imposed by Bezdin because of evidence, right? And that evidence is Anan Sa'adi that it's a low, or we have to treat it as, we assume that it's his, and we can't let someone else steal it away from him. Okay. Right, finally, the Riva, I brought down in Toso, said that, he says, no, any time, right, that Ika Ramai lo yachloku, ela havit inya kol dolom gvar, right? And Havel on the Mimar, yachloku de'efshar lios de'hava de'u arba de'trabayu, or Pirish Riva, de'hecha de'ochsen afilu Ika Ramai yachloku, right? The Riva, basically says, ideally we always try to do yachloku, but then, if there's a Vada Ramai, then we won't do Echlok. However, if there's Shnayim Ochsin, then we'll still do Echlok. Right? Why? Because it basically it allows us to overcome, let's say, our squeamishness at Vada Ramai. He doesn't quite explain why, right? This is very interesting. Because according to Tosfos, according to the Ramban, according to the Rajba, Ochzen leads to Yachloku. According to the Riva, the reason why we do Yachloku is because Bezdin wants to do Yachloku. So why is Shtayim Ochzen going to allow us to do Yachloku even when Ika Vada Ramai, if Vada Ramai stops Yachloku in other cases? Okay, just one more Shit to Rajba, and we'll try to figure out the Riva maybe. The Rajba himself says, really, anytime we don't know what's going to happen, Leikar Koshian nearly, Latari says, Shiny Hacha, Deleka Lemekam Allah Demilsa, Dechol Hecha Deleka Lemekam Allah Demilsa, Yachloku. Anytime we have no way of ever figuring it out, so then Bezdin just does Yachloku. Right? But if there's a possibility of eventually figuring it out, so Bezdin won't do Yachlok. Right? In which case, says Rabbi Natan, really Yachlok was something that Bezdin imposes, right? It's a sort of pshara. Sorry, says the Rashba. It's sort of pshara. Really, we want to be mechalek and split it. But, right, the Rashba says we can't do that unless we know that there's no real solution that's ever going to show up. Or, says the Riva, right, if there's a Vada Ramai, we can't do it, but otherwise we always do Chalukah. So then, right, we oppose the solution of as a pshar. Now, Shnayim Ochsin, now the question though is, according to the Riva, why does Shnayim Ochsin help us out against Vada Ramai? Right, it's very shwer. So I guess first our question is, why does Vada Ramai stop us in the first place, right? Which could be part of the problem is that Bezdin can't help out the Ramai. Bezdin can't, right, encourage theft by helping out Vada Ramai get half of the object. But if they're already Ochsin, so it could be the Riva says, right, once they're Ochsin, so then Bezdin isn't the one doing it anymore. Right, he could be mode, basically, to the Rosh and Tosfos, or to the Ramban and Rabbi Hananel. Either that it creates chazaka matachas yad, or it creates hamotzi mechabel haraya, right? But he says, normally, we don't even need those because Beis Din wants to do Chalukah. If there's a Vada Ramai, Beis Din's not allowed to decide to do Chalukah. But if you have Ochzin, then either you have Chazak Amat Tachas Yadav, Shalom, or you have Motzim Mechel Faraya, and then Beis Din gets to do Chalukah anyway because it's not really Beis Din who's imposing it. Right? So the Rival kind of just agrees that there's some, that Ochzin leads to Chalukah also, but he just thinks that Beis Din always wants to do Chalukah, even if they're not Ochzin. Right? So there are basically two reasons to do Chalukah, according to the Rival. One is if they're Ochzin, or if there's no Vadei Ramai, because Beis Din just wants to do Chalukah. That's a pshar, that solves the issue. Okay, so we saw basically there are two main options in understanding, right, the impact of achiza. One is that achiza is a way of proving that it belongs to the people who have it, right, or leads us to treat it on some evidentiary level that it belongs to them, or it doesn't say who owns it, but it says who has possession. And possession, right, might be 9/10 or even, according to the Chasam Sofer, right, 10/10 of the law, in which it doesn't matter whether or not who we know or whether we know anything about ownership. It's sufficient that we know that this guy has possession and he maintains possession. Okay. So far, so good. Now, I'm going to open up our other solutions. There are other solutions in the Gemara that came up, right? So we just did Yachluk. Okay, why have Yachluk? Now the question is, okay, what about the other ones? What else do we have? So we have Koldal Mukvar, right? And Koldalim, there we go. What's up with Koldal Mukvar? Okay, so again, we already know that Koldalim seem to be the, like, we throw our hands up in the air, we don't know what to do. Right? And that's what Tosis Reb basically says. Shnayim Ochzin Metalis. Perish Davka Ochzin. Kivan Dehu Biyadam Lo Amrina Lehu Kald Olam Kvar. Shein Zed Din Shenomar La'alim Tkufet HaChalash V'Totziyet Shebiyado V'Tizkebo. Okay, what is Kald Olam Kvar? We tell the stronger guy, beat up the weaker guy and just grab it out of his hands. Right? And take it. Aval Imu Lo Hayu Shnayim Tfusin. Kigon De Munach B'Simta. Kamayhu, Mariven Aleha, Alav, Amrinan Kodom Gvar, Kidimuchach Perkreska Sabakim, Gabehu Arbu. Avahacha, Idemar, Lodemar, Tolom Lohaita, Ela Becheska, Echad Mehen, Hilkach, Ein Rawi, the Beis Din Ladun Yachloku, Ela, what do Beis Din do? Mistalkin Heim and Adin, they walk away. The Omrim Lahen, Kodom Gvar, they tell him, go fight it out. Okay, so Tosfos Reb says, what is it? It's a siluk. You're walking away. Beis Din is just throwing up their hands. They're saying, we can't deal with this. We have no, you know, it's out of our jurisdiction, I guess. And we're fine with the alim being tokef the chalash and being motzi shebiyado because we're mistalek minadin. You walk away. Okay? So, kol the alim is a siluk. Yeah, tehila.
When we were reading the Tosfot Red, we were trying to figure out if there's a relationship between the case of like Munach Basimta at the beginning and the Idemar Lodemar, because those seem to be the two situations in which he says Kol Da'alim Kvar would apply.
Runam between Munach Basimta and what's the second case?
The Idemar Lodemar.
Oh, Idemar Lodemar, yeah, because it's impossible for it to be both of theirs.
So in both those cases, he said Kol Da'alim Kvar, right?
Yes.
But what does being in an alleyway have to do with who it belongs to? I know it's like, it's, so either they might be different, but if so, like what ties them together that they're both Kol Da'alim Kvar?
He's just saying that it's in a simta as opposed to, let's say, being in one of their backyards.
Okay, but doesn't he say, doesn't seem to use in contrast to them both physically holding on to it?
Yeah, I mean, instead of it being in their hands or in their backyards, right, it's sitting on the sidewalk.
And therefore, it's a case of Edomar Lodomar?
No, it's also saying it's also a case, I think it has two, right? In the case of the boat, right? If it could have been, if I think, I should go back and check the bit that I cut out because it was too long. So,
the bit that he cut out, that you cut out, is about the case with the baby being born and it's not sure who's born to which. And it says that, like, because we're not sure in whose reshut the baby's born, it's as if there's shnayim ochzin.
Right.
But at the same, like, if it weren't like that, if it were a case of Edomar Lodomar, then it would be called Alim Gvar. So we're just struggling to figure out what the different cases had in common.
So I think you're saying any time where they don't have possession of it, right? That is basically walks away. Right? And if it could actually belong to both of them, so then, right, maybe we'll say Yachluk. Right? I think it's actually going back to the boat case on the Edomar Lodomar.
Right. And then in the Yachloku with the baby, he goes back to the Machloku at Simchus and Rabana and sticks almost even Chavarol of Haraya in there. And it was, I found it confusing.
So that gets into, there's almost even Chavarol of Haraya. And maybe you say Yachloku because of, right, Simchus. But there's Jari the Mamona. That gets into all the Jari the Mamona stuff. But I'm saying his basic point here is if the boat could have belonged to both of them, then maybe we would say Yachloku. Right? But here, it's not possible for it to be both of theirs. And therefore, Hilkach en roi lebezin ladun Yachloku. And therefore, and so what do? No one has possession. And they can't split it because it can't possibly belong to both of them. So Bezdin just walks away. Right? They have no to defend anyone's muchzakos in terms of hamotzei mechaber al haraya. And they can't make a pshara because either Marlo, if it's one, it's not the other. So they can't illegally, you know, and unjustly give half to one of them. So they just walk away.
Okay, and the reason why it works in the alleyway is because it's neither of their possessions.
Correct.
And does that fit into a paradigm of who owns what?
Well, if one of them had possession over it, then we would have a problem with Muslim Mechavel of Harai, or right, Chazakam Adi Tachas Yad. Right here, no one has possession, because just sitting on the sidewalk in the middle of the street. Right, so we have no problem walking away. We don't have to defend anyone's possession. We don't have to defend anyone's right presumed ownership rights either, because right, no one has possession and no one has chazaka that it's theirs. And you can't impose a pshara of yachloku because it's impossible for it to be both of theirs. And according to Tosfot, if it's impossible for it to be both of theirs, we can't do a pshara of yachloku. So what do? Right, no one has possession, and we, Beis Din, can't impose right an unlawful division. So we walk away. Right? We're just mistalik in a day. Now the tour has a very similar lashon when it comes to he's actually doing the introduction to all of Choshen Mishpat. And he's talking about the importance of justice and Dayanim. Right? Wait a second. Right? Isn't there a different list? Right? Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Here, right, we're getting a list of three things the world stands on, which are Din, Emes, and Shalom. So says Rabbi Yonah, Ein Perusha B'Shvil Gimel Ar Dvarim Elu Nivra HaOlam. Right? It's not that the world was created for these three reasons. Shaharei b'tchilat ha'perek amar al gimot varam ha'olam omid ve'inam ha'ilu reshiz of kan elam b'tchila amar shbishvil gimot varam nevar olam elahin Torah avodah gimot chasadim. Right, etc., etc. Right, so what? Kan omer ha'olam kayam perush acher shenivra mitkayem al yidei elu sh'al yidei ha'olai. It's not that the world was created because of these things. Rather, the world is maintained by these things. Shal yidei hadayanim shedanim bein ish lechavero ha'olam kayam. Why? If you didn't have dayanim, el malei hadin kol da'olim gvar. If not for the existence of judges and the criminal justice system, kol da'olim gvar, right? The strong would rule. V'chein ha'emet kemosha amru, sheker ein lo raglayim, aval ha'emet hu yisod, u'ma'amad gadol l'chol advarim, v'chein ha'shalom kemosha amru, evei mitpalel b'shlema shal malchut, ha'malei ma'ura malchut, ish et re'ehu chayom chayim bla. If not for the fear of the government, people would, you know, mamash, eat each other alive. Okay? What does the tour think? Kol da'olim gvar is?
The absence of law?
Exactly. It's the absence of din. It's the pure absence of the court's involvement. Just like Tosfot, it's totally a siluk, right? They're walking away. Literally, when he wants to describe what would the world be without courts and without the criminal justice system, right? It would be kol da'olim gvar. Okay, so kol da'olim gvar is totally just walking away. And Rabbi Besman throws up his hand and says, sorry, can't do anything about this, right? Okay. The Rush, however, right, has very interesting mind. He talks about if there's a muchzak, then Besman is chayav to be mocha and to prevent guy A from taking it from guy B. Okay? Right? Ein Besman mechuyavim limchos lemi sheba likach davar she'in anu yodim shalmihu. But if we have no idea who it belongs to, and there's no chazaka that it's shalom, we have no obligation to stop A from taking things from B. Right? What do we have an obligation to do? We have an obligation to stop A from stealing things from B. Right? But I don't have an obligation to stop A from taking things from B if I have no assumption that it belongs to B. Hilkach, in roi lifsok lehen din chaluka, shema nafsid le'echer mehen shalo kidin. Right? Therefore, we don't have to do chaluka because maybe we're taking money away from A and giving half of it to B. Right? A and B are fighting. B, right? B, let's say B is the ganav. So A owns it, B is the ganav. Bezdin comes, cuts it in half, and gives half to B. That's not okay. Right? Either they can fight over it and play tug of war, or one of them can come and bring some sort of circumstantial evidence in his favor. Right, the person who really should own it is the one who's gonna bring more compelling circumstantial evidence. The ode, okay, that helps with the circumstantial evidence, but what about the bit where the other part of it, which is Yigbar Yado Bekoach? The ode, Shemisha Hadin Imo, Moser Nafsho Lahamid et Shalom Biado, Yoter Mimash and Moser Haacher Nafsho Ligzol. Someone's trying to steal something from you, right? You're gonna fight tenaciously. Because you feel the injustice of this guy trying to steal your stuff, right? Now, sometimes it's bad, right? Because, like, let's say someone's getting mugged, and they're like, I'm not giving out my wallet or my pocketbook. And, like, they're not putting their life on the line, right? But people feel this very strong sense of injustice and will fight tenaciously, right, to keep what they believe is theirs. Okay, why is that so important? Because, right? Shemisha imo moser nafsho lehamid et shelo biyado yoter mimasha moser acher nafsho ligzol. Okay, for two, one is he's going to fight tenaciously because of his sense of injustice, and two, od yomar ze ma betza shel emsor nafshi v'hayom ol machar yavi raya v'yotzei miyadi. Says one is the guy's sense of injustice makes him fight like a wildcat, and number two is the ganav. how much is his heart in it? So on one hand, he wants to steal this thing, right? He's claiming that it's his. On the other hand, you have to remember, like, this guy's all, you know, he's not like a Ganav who, you know, I don't know, he tunneled into the vault and, like, snuck out with all the stuff. He's, like, trying to grab it, right? Tomorrow, Eden might come and say, yeah, we know that the object belongs to A. So he's really going to let himself get a concussion, you know, and a broken, and three broken fingers, and just to get this object, and then a week later, you know, A is going to come and, like, bring proof that it belongs to him, and then Bezin's going to take it away from him. Okay? So, right, what are we going to do? We don't have a way to find out who it belongs to, and we're not obligated to stop them from fighting. But, says the Rosh, we also can be somit. We're also relying on the fact that the real owner is probably the one who's going to win. And he throws in that Kol Da'alim isn't only by brute force. It's also, right, with circumstantial evidence. Now, the question is, how do we understand this Rosh? Is he saying that Kol Da'alim is not a siluk? Is he saying that it's like a psak? Like, what's he really saying? I'll give a secret hint, which is I have heard Big Talmid Chachamim say the Rosh either way. So both are legitimate. So the question is, what do you think? And I'll try to prove it, what I think. But
it sounds to me like a siluk. And he's just giving he's trying to make himself feel better about it and giving the reason that, oh, that guy will win because he really wants it.
Okay, right. One is, it's a siluk. And we feel bad about that because as much as the Rosh says, Yosh, Bezin is a chayiv, right? What did we say a minute ago, according to his son, the tour? Right? Kol Da'alim Gvar is literally the law of the jungle. It's the little example of the world falling apart, right? So as much as Bezin isn't chayav to get involved, and maybe they shouldn't get involved, right? We should have some very deep misgivings about letting this go on, right? And one of Bezin's jobs is what? Right? Let's go back to the Gimel Dvarim, Din, Emes, and Shalom. So Emes here says that you can't do chalukah, right? But if Kol Da'alim is the opposite of Din, and it's definitely the opposite of Shalom, so two out of our three pillars say that this is very bad news, right? We can't get involved because we have no idea who it is, and we can't give half to the Ganav. That's MS, right? But Din says you can't let them beat each other up, and Shalom says you definitely can't let them beat each other up, so this is not the best situation. What do we do? So Rachel's saying, well, yeah, but, right, we can sort of placate Din and Shalom with the argument that, well, you know, hopefully it'll turn out right. Okay. Or, it's just like another way to read it. Another way to read it would be to say, yeah, Tila.
This isn't necessarily a response to what we're talking about here, but it's more of a response to what Rachel was talking about. I think Kol Da'alim Gvar is a very important pairing with Hamotzi Mechaveru El Avaraya. And maybe, like, I don't know if this is actually how it works, but I feel like kind of the timeline I imagined in my head is like T0, they struggle. T1, a person gets it. And then if they feel that's wrong, T2, they do get to go to Beit Din and try and produce proof. And the second we're pulling the Hamotzi Mechaveru El Avaraya card, Beit Din's no longer trying to remove themselves from the scene. They're actively involved in the scene. So it's not like an all or nothing in terms of whether you involve Beit Din.
Okay, let's see if I can find a marker. No. Oh, I don't have a marker right now. Oh, well. Okay, I'm not going to use a marker because I don't have one. But you're assuming one very interesting thing, which is very good, and a huge, huge nafkamina of this question. What happens at T3 when Guy
B, who lost, right, pulls out his brass knuckles or regular knuckles and, right, says, look, an avocado. And the, you know, guy A turns around, looks, is like, oh, I don't see an avocado. And then he zoinks in and grabs the object back. Right? And then guy A says, look, a chicken. And the guy says, I'm not going to fall for that. And then he punches him out and grabs the object back again. Right? And they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Tehillah's saying they can't do that. Right? That would be a disaster. That would be utter anarchy. And
okay, well, I'm not going that far. I'm saying that the halash person doesn't eternally have to be determined by his halash status. If he can bring proof, then he can pull the Mosim Chavarah Alav Araya card and get Beit Din on his side, or get Beit Din involved in a way that they couldn't be before. But right. I think what you're saying about Kol De'Alim Dvar going back and forth is probably what the tour is imagining, because that's just unsustainable.
Right. It sounds like from the tour and the Zrid that that's what happens. Right. According to the Rush, it's not so clear that that's what happens. Right. Potentially, a real nafkamina of this whole question is maybe, right, and kind of Tila, you're going for this, is that you're right that Kol De'Alim is sort of a siluk. On the other hand, it's also kind of a way to like create a status quo so that we can kind of move on. Right. And
or it's a way of firmly defining what the scope of Beit Din involvement is going to be for people who don't feel comfortable that Beit Din gets involved into every little, struggle.
That, but it's just not always, I mean, Beit Din has no metrics for with to get involved here in a just way. Right. But once they do their Kol De'Alim Dvar, then, right, then the reason or the basis for Bezim's involvement would have to be some sort of evidence. Right? But what you're doing is saying, oh, we're essentially, I'm just going to take you one step further and say, maybe this is really a way of establishing, right, some sort of equilibrium. And then we can say, okay, we hit equilibrium, right? Things were out of whack. We didn't know what to do with this stuff. They fought over it. Now one of them has it. Now we've re-achieved equilibrium, or we've achieved some sort of peace, or stable state. Now, hamotzi mechaveh alav haraya. Or now, if you want to do anything, you need to bring proof to Beis Din, right? And it allows us to restore balance to the force.
I would say that's one philosophy. The other alternative would just be that you're chalak everything that you don't know what to do with, or you confiscate everything that you don't know what to do with. So assuming you don't like either of those two options, then I think this is the best third option.
Right. But what you're saying is that it's an option. It's not, right? It's not a lack of option, right? It's not a withdrawal.
I don't want to overlook that in cases where you can't bring proof, you're stuck. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that exactly would suffer from that.
But at least being stuck is better, right, than society collapsing and having utter chaos. Right? For example, in politics, as much as we dislike whatever the other party is doing, and we think it's destroying the country, right? The only thing we agree would be even worse than the other people being in power, right? Is there being no government at all and us being in total anarchy, right? I think, mostly. I would say like this. Political systems, right, are healthy when the two groups agree that the worst possible thing that could happen is the other party being in power, with the exception of total anarchy. Political systems begin to fall apart when the different parties think that the worst possible option is for the other party to be in power, and it would be better to be in utter anarchy, right? Often the only thing that we all agree that as much as the worst possible thing is for the other guy to get it, what's even worse is anarchy. Right? That's kind of like the basis of society, right? Is that anarchy is really bad and we need to avoid that, even at the cost of doing things that are, or the situation not being good. Right? Churchill's famous line, democracy is a terrible form of government. It's just better than all the other ones we've come up with until now. right? So kol da'olim, right, might be a terrible form of, a terrible solution, but it's better than the alternative of anarchy, if you think it's an solution. And I think we can definitely go there and say, look, it's a solution. It's not a pleasant solution. It's not a lovely solution that we like, but it solves the problem because at the end of the day, right, we can keep it somewhere. We can do something and put this money in a box and leave it there. Now, Tehillah is saying, even if we let them keep fighting it out, it could be that it's still helpful, right? It still allows us to move forward. They might still fight over it, and that could happen again, and it could flip. But at least in the interim, right, there's some sort of balance, right, or some sort of temporary resolution, even if it continues. You go a step further and say, no, and then the whole thing is resolved. Okay, now the Rush himself makes a point, and he says like this: what about a shvua, right? In terms of the kol da'olim, can the loser make the winner of the kol da'olim make a shvua? His hadu paskin on kol da'olim gvar lav dino. If the Rush actually comes out and says it's not a din, it's not like Bez Din paskins kol da'olim. What? But samchu chachamim al ze. If Bez Din paskin kol da'olim gvar, so the winner, then the loser can't make the winner make a shvua because Bez Din paskin that the winner gets the money. If kol da'olim is a siluk, so the loser can make the winner make a shvuas hesis that it's his, right? Okay. Hilkach nistalku chachamim min hadin va'amru kol da'olim gvar v'ula yitbareh hadavar la'achar zman shalmihu v'samchu k'tzat al hasvara shekatavti le'em. Okay. So the Rush says in terms of the fundamentals, it's really a siluk, but that siluk still requires justification. I think it's more than what Rachel was arguing, which is like, it's more like how to make ourselves feel good. I think it's, for the Rush, it's more that this is part of Bez Din's obligation, right? Is Shalom and Din. They can't just walk away from that. So we need to be able to say that we are not encouraging a miscarriage of justice, right? Or anarchy. And that we actually have a plan. Now, our plan isn't always the right, lovely and clean and geschmack and nice, right, and pleasant. But in the scheme of law enforcement, this is like an interesting question that comes up a lot, just sometimes it's better for law enforcement not to get involved, right? Sometimes it's better for law enforcement to allow certain criminal activity to go on so that they can, right, either use it to track more significant players in the crime hierarchy, etc. Right, all these things, right, are kind of more like morally difficult because, right, crime happened. How can you not enforce it? How can you let them get away and do it again? Right. So we need to be able to also say that it's part of a plan. Right, and that there's a logic to it, and that there's a logic that samchu ala svara shekatavti le'el, that right, hope that the right person will ultimately win and get his money back. We don't know, right? But we're gambling on that, and we're allowed to gamble on that. But we need to be able to gamble that really the right person's going to get it. Okay, so the Rush says it's not a psak, right? It's lav dinahu. But, right, it's not so clear. It seems like for the Rush that they probably couldn't go back and forth. Okay? So it's like this weird sort of like, it's a siluk, but it's a siluk that's also mevara. Right? It's sort of like it's like a tactical retreat. Right? It's a retreat, But if, you know, it's a tactical retreat because we're doing it for, because we think strategically it'll pay off. As opposed to the rid and the tour, who think it's like mamash, the law of the jungle. Okay, so what happens after someone wins? So either whoever got it gets to keep it, or they can keep going back and forth. So the rush, right, says, So says the Rosh, even though it's not like a psak, it's a tactical retreat. And whoever gets it first, now is the muchsak, and the other guy cannot take it from him. Okay? So it's not really a total withdrawal, right? It's a way of creating a new status quo and not having anarchy. And it's a tactical retreat, which helps us potentially even figure out who it all belongs to, right? Not through evidentiary means, but through trial by combat, okay? So what we're doing is we're coming up with like a real solution. We're deciding who gets to keep it from here on in, and also hopefully that it really belongs to them, okay? Says the Meiri also the same thing, right? Okay, once one guy gets it, the other guy is considered the motzi mechavero, and hamotzi mechavero al haraya. Okay, and it really, really sets a new status quo. Okay, so it's really, as much as it's maybe not a psak of Bezdin, according to the Rosh, it's just a tactical retreat, but that tactical retreat creates a new strategic reality. And the same thing for the Meiri. So it's really also a solution, right? Shitin Kubatsas brings down the Shitin Lulumi. It says, In a Brurim Metzli Shatam Shamar Kodal Gvar, but they shame Benzin Zakukim Lizkake Lidina. He says, I don't like the Rush, who says that whoever gets it first gets to keep it, because the whole point is that it's a siluk. Bezin's throwing out the tans and walking away, right? The Kiva Shakane, Noach Lahanicha Lasos Kirtzonam. They could just keep fighting it out forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And just, that's the Matthias, right? Because the whole point is that Bezdin's walking away. And if Bezdin's walking away, then they can keep fighting it out. Is there anarchy? Yeah, there's anarchy. And you know what? That's, unfortunately, we can't solve all the world's problems, right? And sometimes you just have to let anarchy reign if you have no better, reasonable, just solution. I think that's really just a great nafka mina of this question, right? Is kol d'olam, we say, oh, right? Is kol d'olam something good? Is kol d'olam something really bad? Is it our default? Is it something we want to avoid at all possible costs, right? And the Rush basically says, yeah, our default is called Kol D'olam. Now, I think the Rush can only say that, or it's not necessarily. One approach is to say, look, Kol D'olam is Sila. Bezdin doesn't know what to do. Bezdin walks away. And you could say that, right? Because if you're a strict justice truth person, then if Bezdin doesn't know what to do and we don't have a solution, so we walk away and we let them just keep fighting, right? On the other hand, the more that you think that like peace and maintaining a civil society is part of Bezdin's job, the harder it is to justify Bezdin walking away, unless they absolutely have to. So if you think that Kol D'olam is something that we only allow to happen when we have no other option, like Rashi, like the Riva, right? Like the Rajba, right? Then really we go to Yachloku, we go to Yehei Munach even. But we don't want to let there be Kol D'olam. So then you can say, well, Kol D'olam is just when it's impossible to deal with. But if you're like the Rush and you think that Kol D'olam is our go-to option, that's our ideal, So then if that's total anarchy, it's very hard to understand. Right? But says the Rush, that's not total anarchy, right? Kol da'alin is a tactical retreat, which creates a new strategic reality. Whoever gets it is now the Muhsak, is now the one in possession. They get to act as the owner. Kol da'alin is a solution, right? Not just a surrender. It's not a surrender. It's a retreat, but it's a tactical retreat, right? And now the object is in possession of the new possessor, and now we can continue with our lives, right? So where you put Kol da'alin in the hierarchy potentially also is connected to whether you think Kol da'alin is really this abnegation of our responsibility or is actually a solution, right? A sort of indirect solution maybe, says the Rosh, but a solution nonetheless. Okay, Shukrach. Questions?